Welcome to the Closeted Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Shalee. This podcast is all about exploring the depths of your soul. We dive deep into spiritual concepts and tools that we can utilize in the physical world to really navigate life. So join me and so many others on this insane journey of self-discovery, and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Closeted Soul Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. So I hope that you like the new intro. After you listen to this episode, you'll understand why, but I really got thinking about who I am. You know, how was I showing up in this world? You know, am I really following my North Node? And hint, hint, the North Node is something we're going to get into in the podcast. Your North Node is like your soul purpose, your destiny, and what you're here to do, and even just embracing exactly who I am. After this interview I had with Luna. So Luna is an astrologer and she's an intuition coach. So she helps spiritual women live a mystical life through metaphysical insights, ritual, and channeled reflections with the intention to clear, process, and transmute old wounds into inspiration and creativity. So after really getting to know Luna and hearing her story and just, you know, diving deep into chatting with her, after that, it's like it triggered something in me. I was like, who am I living my life for? What am I doing? How am I showing up? What are the messages that I'm sharing with people? How do I want this podcast to look? Because if I'm being quite truthful with you guys, and you know, I want to be as honest as I possibly can, I started this podcast in a way where I really try to manufacture everything to meet the needs of other people, to be liked. And I realized that two of my biggest values in this world is just truth and authenticity and freedom. And if I had continued the podcast the way that I was, I wouldn't be living in my truth. Whether or not people like it, it doesn't really matter. I need to really look deep within myself and figure out what I like. You know, what's my style? Why, like, how am I showing up in a way that is truthful to me? So that is why I changed the intro, because honestly, that intro doesn't really represent me and who I am. I know it's a silly little thing, but it was like a big decision for me to actually change the intro. So I hope you don't mind too much. And I hope that you're excited for this conversation, because we dive deep into astrology. I already filmed an episode on astrology and it's terrible. So I do not recommend listening to it at all. Listen to this one. Luna has such an incredible way to read the stars and read the planets. So I am excited for you guys to listen to this one. Excited to hear what you think. Please, as always, let us know how you found the episode. Make sure you share the podcast to any friends, family, whoever that you feel like might resonate. Share it on your socials if you feel called to. Please also, if you enjoy the podcast, I would love for you to give the podcast a rate and review in iTunes. It really does mean the world to me and it's good encouragement. So yeah, I'll stop blabbing now about my identity crisis. I hope that you enjoy this conversation with Luna. Hi, Luna, and welcome to the Closeted Soul Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. I would love for you to introduce yourself to the listeners and just explain a little into what it is you do.
Hey, yeah, I'm super grateful to be here and for you to ask me, so thank you. I am an astrologer and six-figure business owner. I also teach witchcraft, intuition, and I call myself a business oracle. So I help spiritual women live mystical lives, have financial abundance. And yeah, I live here in Bali with the love of my life. And I do circus. And yeah, that's kind of me.
It's so beautiful where you are. I'm literally looking at your background and I'm like, oh my God, take me there. That's incredible. No, your story is so inspiring. And yeah, I've been following your journey on Instagram for a while. So yeah, I definitely am excited to dive deeper into this chat and dive deeper into astrology, because that's what we're going to focus on in today's podcast episode. I've briefly touched on it, but I haven't properly dived into it with an astrologer. So it will be really interesting to actually dive deeper into astrology. But before we do, I ask all my guests, seeing as this is the Closeted Soul podcast, when did you first come out of the spiritual closet?
This is a really interesting question because I don't think I think I've always been out. I remember like being 4 years old and looking at my hands and being like, what the hell are these? What the hell is this? And I just started questioning things from a very young age. And by the time I was like 12 years old, I was really upset with how I was around everybody that was so youthful, and just like didn't really understand anything deep or spiritual or anything about life. So that's kind of, I don't know, the progression of my life has been very spiritual and very mystical. And I am a Pisces, and Pisces is the oldest sign on the zodiac. So you could say sometimes like Pisces is timeless and Pisces is spirit. So I feel like I didn't know that obviously as a child. But yeah, I don't know. Like I remember like skipping class and when I was like 14 years old and just like volunteering at the yoga studio that was nearby. So I hope that answers your question.
No, it does. It's just like you've always been a spiritual person. So I love that. No, I think that that's so inspiring. You can definitely tell that you just completely embody it and it's beautiful to see. So I would love to dive into your title because you call yourself a witch and there's so much negative connotation around that word. I am so down with witches. Like I feel like I'm a witch as well with the way that I do my rituals and just how I live my life. And I just think when people hear the word witch, it just comes with so much. So how long have you identified as a witch for? And, you know, how do you tackle that stigma around that word?
Yeah, totally. So this I'm not gonna say like I was one of those little girls. Like I saw this hilarious meme that was this like little girl, it was a video of a little girl graduating from like kindergarten or something, and her mom, like the title was like, wasn't expecting that. And they were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then she was like, a witch. And then I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. And like that, you know, that wasn't me, you know, I'm not going to say that that's what I, you know, that's what I thought I was. But I guess like only maybe the past like 6 years I've identified with that title, but I think it's actually a reclamation of the feminine in my opinion. And I think that, the stigma or the dogma comes from such a deep rooted historic trauma, right? Because if we look historically at what has happened to women and people who identify as witches, what happens? They get socially cast out of society. They get burned. They get murdered. They, you know, they horrible things happen to them. And what that actually was our witches were our mystical women in the village. They were the ones who talked to the plants and the animals or who understood the sky or were our therapists or our herbalists and, you know, made potions and tinctures to heal us or were birth and death doulas. And when, you know, the church and the patriarchy started to rise up in power, then, you know, they wanted to blame someone for, they didn't want women to essentially have their own power because that could overrun the church and especially these mystical women. So then women who were once coming together in tribes and doing blood ritual ceremonies for their menstrual cycles and, you know, the tribe depended on the cohesion of the women, it turned into the opposite, it turned into like, she's a witch, burn her, save me. I don't do anything to do with that. So that kind of started like the feminine needing to, first of all, rebond their relationship with each other, because we're actually still healing that, but that's a whole nother story. And then also just our mystical manner, like our mystical embodiment and ritual and spell casting and praying and offering and connecting with the moon, like all of that has been taken away from us on purpose. And I think by identifying as the word witch demystifies that. I mean, it's still mystical, but it also takes away some of those scary thoughts and those beliefs. And it's a reclamation of that word. Like, you know, cultures reclaim words that are derogatory or mean or racist or whatever, and they take it back. And I kind of think that that's what I'm doing. And I'm actually like the people around me and, you know, with my Instagram even and whatever is like, even though I have a higher following on Instagram, I never get any hate. Like I never get like... I don't know. Maybe it's just like my vibe is really intense, but I don't have problems. Like I don't really have prejudice around that. Like even my family, they think it's cute, you know, they don't really understand, but they kind of understand. But I think like people are open to it, right? And you can, when you explain it to someone, like, what does it mean to you to be a witch? And you explain it, then they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I think that it must be in my chart and my DNA, my soul karma, to kind of work through this feminine line of empowerment in a mystical way. I don't know.
I feel everything you just said so deeply. No, it was a beautiful answer and I completely agree. I have actually just recently been trying to heal that feminine wound. And I think it's something that more women need to talk about. So I love that you've created a space where women can come together and do that as well. And yeah, beautiful, beautiful answer. I'm like, wow, that's so true. I want to dive deep into astrology because I know that you really focus on astrology to find, you know, your purpose and intuition and all of that good stuff. But I kind of want to start at the start. So it might be a bit basic, but not many people even know what a birth chart actually is. So people look at astrology and they actually just think, okay, astrology, my sun sign, that's all it is. And it goes so much deeper than that. I remember when I was starting my spiritual awakening, I had no idea who I was. I didn't know where I was going, what I wanted out of life. I had no access to my intuition. And I had set the intention that I wanted to find myself. And then I was presented with astrology. So I went on this like deep exploratory mission to find my purpose. And I dived deep into my birth chart. So it really showed me a lot about myself and my soul and what I'm here to do. So I would love it if you could explain what a birth chart actually is and why it's worth knowing, even though I kind of explained why it's worth knowing.
Yeah, of course. So your birth chart is essentially the map of your soul, and it has all of the answers that you could really ever want to find in there. Especially if it's taught by a good astrologer. The worst is when it's really ungrounded and hard to understand. And then you leave and you're like, I think I understood something. So astrology is a language, and the birth chart is the fundamental to the language. So it is sad that people just think that, you know, they're just their sun sign, because I remember finding out about my moon sign and my rising and Venus and Mercury. And then, oh my God, my north node and Chiron. So what a birth chart is that it is actually where the planets were from our point of view on Earth the moment you were born. So there's a star that is called the ascendant that is rising. So the whole, the constellation or the planets of the sky, you know, is moving like this. And in there is a star called the rising sign or the ascendant. And it's in there and it's in there and it's in there. And when it's rising on the eastern horizon, the moment you are born, then that is what creates the birth chart. So the chart is set. So you have your sun sign. Sorry, I'll back up. But so the planets, it's kind of contradictory because, you know, they say that the planets don't make stuff happen to you, but they reflect it. But I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, it has a thing. So it is really hard to comprehend to some people that there's this cosmic relationship and this very human experience of you were being birthed through a womb, through the darkness. And when you were being birthed, the planets actually have influence on that. And it's not, again, it's not that they influence you and they make you and they decide who you are and they cast your whole life, and they do in some way. But it's mostly that they reflect everything on Earth. So as above, so below. And astrology is mostly that, the fact that astrology was astronomy thousands of years ago because we couldn't go out into space. So this is the thing that a lot of scientists have a problem with astrology, is that astrology is not from space's point of view. It's actually from humans looking up at the sky and seeing what is here. You know, is there, can we relate a story to it? Can we see the plants and the animals and the trees and the people? And are there symbol, are there similarities? Are there archetypical energies that show up? Are there patterns? And they have just found out historically over thousands of years that astrology has survived this, that astrology is everything, as above, so below. So it shows up in absolutely everything. And it's incredible. It really, you know, you can see the sun to just like your basic sense of purpose, you know, like, who are you? What are you here to do? What is the role that you're here to play? How do you shine? How are you constantly evolving, right? You can go deeper. You can look at your moon side, where the moon was placed the moment you were born. And that could represent, you know, your inner world. That's something that you don't hide. Like you don't put out on your sleeve. It's something that is more sacred. It's your sense of nurturing. It's your relationship to your mother. It's your past. You can look at then at your rising sign, or that star that I was talking about. And that rising sign is arguably your personality. It's your flavor. It's your essence. It's your vibe. It's what you look like when you walk into a room and you have an energy, like, who are you? And so you can go so much deeper. And so imagine if you actually sit down with an astrologer, or imagine if you really do this research yourself, that you can have those answers you seek. And me having this language of astrology, I didn't know necessarily that that was what I was supposed to be doing with my life. But then looking at my chart is like, this is the chart of an astrologer, actually. This is the chart of someone who reads people and who works within the mystic realm. And who, so, and you know, not everybody's going to have that in their chart, but everybody will have something. They will have a soul purpose. They will have a direction and a path to go, and where the soul wants to evolve, whether we're conscious or not. And the birth chart will present itself. They say that the birth chart is fated, or things will just happen to you if the person is unconscious, or if we're not aware of who we are, and if we don't have, if we're just not self-aware, the birth chart will kind of play out. But when you have these archetypical energies and you understand, oh, okay, this is the positives of Pisces, and this is the more shadow or challenging sides of Pisces, and I'm prone to both of them, how do I want to express myself? What do I want to do for career, right? So, and so on and so on. So that's what I think about that. Does that explain what a birth chart is?
No, you did a really good job in explaining that. So thank you. For some reason, my brain is going here now, so I'm just going to go with it. But I have a good example of somebody who didn't really live up to what was written in their birth chart. So there was this person that I knew that actually had Jupiter in his 10th house. Now, just for the reference of the listeners at home, Jupiter is the planet of expansion. And then the 10th house is like the house of career and fame. And Luna, I'm sure that you're going to do a better job in explaining the Jupiter in the 10th house than I can. But basically, he had that placement, and he has lived a life of alcoholism, and he struggled a lot in career and really just kind of went down the path of drugs and all of that. So I was wondering what your opinion was on that, because he didn't really live up to that placement. And also, I do want to mention, he actually did have the opportunity to attract a really good career when he was younger. He had the opportunity to play a sport. It was a particular sport, I actually can't remember, but a sport. And actually, he would have probably been a famous athlete if he had gone down that route. But then he made certain decisions in his life that kind of took that opportunity away from him. So yeah, I was wondering what your opinion was.
Yeah, so it's interesting. You said it. It's just sometimes hard to put into language. So essentially, Jupiter is, first of all, you know, Sagittarius energy. So if we think about that, you said that he wanted to be like a famous athlete or something. He was going to be athletic. That's what Jupiter rules, athleticism, right? Because Jupiter is ruled by Sagittarius, which rules the thighs and the archer with the bow and arrow that's gallivanting in the... Anyways, Jupiter expands, brings abundance, good luck, and harmony, and wonderful, expansive things, but also can make things just like more dramatic or more intense. It just expands things. So it is known to be the benefic. It's a positive planet, but right, if we don't use our gifts in the way that Jupiter wants to express, then it can somehow sometimes just make something like bigger mess, I guess. And so if it's in the 10th house, right, that's the house of fame, career, public persona. It's the highest point in the chart where you'd be seen by others. So yeah, in one lifetime, that could be his destiny. But, you know, I would want to look at the rest of his chart. And as soon as you said like alcoholism, I would look to Pisces or I would look to the 12th house, because the 12th house is the house of addiction, substance abuse, and mental illness, which astrologers wouldn't normally say that, because in modern astrology, we say it's the house of spirit. and I question that, because in Hellenistic astrology, it actually has a darker tone to it, right? What does spirit mean? It means you're connected, but you're also escaping. You know, you can find spirit with substances, right? So, I would look to his 12th house, and I would look to where Pisces and Neptune, because Pisces is what's associated with the 12th house as well as Neptune. So,
so interesting. Now yeah. I'm thinking about my own 12th house. I'm like, ooh, I've got some pretty intense placements there. I'm wow.
That's the thing. Like, we can get kind of scared, or we're like, you know, sometimes I'll do readings with someone and then I'll be like, if you're going to do your own research, like, don't be scared. You know, it's all part of the chart. And so that's the thing, is like, depending on what planets are in your 12th house, it could be a really, you could work in the field of spirituality, right? So it really depends on what's in there. But for sure, you could have challenging planets in there, and that could mean an array of different things. The 12th house is a really interesting place, just as much as the 8th house is a really interesting place, you know, sex, death, taxes, all the things you can't avoid. And I think that, you know, people call it the house of transformation, but I think that it's important to actually give language to what these things are. It's also the house of like stealing other people's money, you know, and you don't necessarily need to use this language in a reading with a client, right? But it's good to have this information to know what you're working with, and you're working with life. You are working with everything. So when you look at a birth chart, nothing is left out and nothing is wrong with that. Everything is meant to be there, and there's nothing scary or wrong or weird or different or bad about it. And that's the thing, is there's no bad signs, there's no bad planets, there's just, you know, more harmonious and more challenging, and we associate what's right and wrong for that. And that's why I think that the soul is actually, that's how it evolves, when it realizes the whole picture and is able to make conscious choice and free will and alignment with what the soul is needing to heal and evolve.
No, I love it. No, it's very true. I was just kidding around. I have some pretty intense placements everywhere, but it does. It really helps you to understand what's playing out. Mm-hmm. If we bring it right back to the start again, what would you say would be the most important things for people to learn? Say that they're just starting out on their journey, trying to explore their birth chart. What should they focus on? Because it can be quite overwhelming actually reading a birth chart and looking into a birth chart.
Yes, I agree. The first time I saw a birth chart, I was like, can't read this. And it's amazing that eventually you can. And I think like the main thing is just like find credible astrologers. I know a really good one, actually. Her name is @LunaVeronicaMystic on Instagram. I'm just teasing. But just looking up amazing astrologers, and really not just looking at like cosmopolitan stuff, but actually like getting into like a deeper meaning of like the sun, moon, and rising is for sure the basics that you want to look at. And so what you can do is you can go to a website called astro.com, and then under charts, you go to like extended chart selection, natal chart, and you input your birth information. So you have to know your time of birth in order to have an accurate birth chart. If you think it's sometime in the morning, your mom doesn't know, you can call the hospital, you can check your birth certificate, but ultimately you need your exact time as much as possible because everything can change within 15 minutes and nobody has a chart as you except for in 26,000 years. So it is really important to have that. And then on, once you calculate the chart, it'll just, there'll be a graph of what it is. So you'll see the little glyphs and the thing, and it'll look overwhelming, but it'll say like sun in Scorpio, moon in whatever. And then from there, you just do your research. I think there's lots of beginner astrology books out there. Like the only astrology book you'll ever need, I think, is one that people read first. Yeah, I can't really. Oh, the Encyclopedia of Birthdays by Teresa Chung is so amazing. Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. There's a snake. I'm looking at a snake right now.
Oh, that's so cool.
In my garden. That's talking so about cool. Transformation and eighth house stuff.
That's so cool. I have a snake.
Oh, you do. Are you a Scorpio? What's your sign?
I have a Scorpio.
You're a Scorpio?
Scorpio moon.
Oh, okay. I'm feeling your Scorpio moon.
Yeah, I'm a Leo. Leo sun, Scorpio moon. So really intense.
Oh, you're a Leo. Oh my God. I'm a Leo I'm a Leo moon, Scorpio rising.
Oh, there you go.
So we're similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say that I have a workshop that I just released, which is called like How to Guess People's Astrological Signs. And when I was releasing it, like I just didn't really know how to talk about this experience. And I was like, okay, this is just sign up. It's going to be great. It's only $33. Like you're going to learn everything about the signs and the day to day, this and that. And it was just really hard to market that. And it's so fun for me to guess people's signs. Like I've even guessed my mom's like boyfriend's dog sign. But damn, I would have liked to got your Scorpio sun, but Scorpio moon, yeah.
Yeah, good. No, Scorpio moon's like the Antichrist. That's fine. It's meant to be really dark and mysterious. So maybe you can guess my rising. Do you know what my rising is?
A part of me wants to say Virgo, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Serious?
You're right.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
In my workshop, only $33. Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, wow.
It works.
Wow. Holy shit.
It's a talent. It's a talent.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. I love to like twerk when I get one right. Yeah.
When you get one right. Yeah. I love that. So if somebody had to focus on like, okay, could we actually dive into like, what is the sun in your perspective? What does it represent? What's the moon represent? Maybe the main ones that directly affect us, the main planets.
Yeah. Yeah. So we could talk about that in a few different ways because I did just like ramble about quickly what they are. So essentially the sun, when you want to think about everything in astrology, every single thing has meaning, everything has symbolism. This is when astronomers would say, no, it doesn't. This is the scientific fact, right? But if we look at the sun, what is the sun? It's everlasting. It's shining forever. It's hot. It's providing energy, right? It has the symbolism that it's kind of like God, right? So when we look at the sun, that's how we see ourselves, essentially. It's our ego. It's who we think we are. Again, I do think that the sun is where you look to the chart for your purpose and what house that's in. And, you know, like I'm just using my own chart. It's annoying sometimes when astrologers just talk about their own chart, but this is just what I have right now. And that, you know, Pisces rules spiritual service. Right? So it's on the axis of service. Virgo rules physical service. So in the material world, health and healing. So if Pisces is ruling spiritual service, and that's my sun, that's essentially like how I'm going to evolve in the world and how I'm going to be showing up, how I'm evolving, what I'm here to do, essentially. So you also want to look at the house, and there's this and that, like, oh my God, it's so deep. Like, I have my Saturn conjoined my sun, and I was always like reading that that was a really hard placement. And I do think that a lot of my journey has been like, who am I? What am I here to do? How am I here to like live and make money and work? And what are my restrictions and rules and regulations and boundaries that the government has been put on me? And it's in Pisces, both of them, in the fourth house. And what do we know about the shadows and the gifts of Pisces? Well, if the gifts of Pisces, sorry, I'm totally going off topic, but I'll come back, I promise.
The gifts
of Pisces is that the spirituality sense, right? This is what we know of Pisces. They're compassionate and empathetic and kind of dreamy and watery and nomadic. Well, why are they like that? They're like that because they're on the way to spirit. They're actually the fish is a symbolism of one fish going towards Aries and one going to Aquarius, not wanting to go to the spirit realm. So if Pisces is an old soul and is going to spirit, what does that mean? That's what the archetypical energy embodies. Obviously you have to look to the whole chart of how much Pisces energy is present, but so there's that. And if Saturn can also be like what you end up doing for work in the fourth house, in its most basic sense, is the house of the home. And if I have this Piscean energy in the house of the home, what's the shadow side of Pisces? So the positive side of Pisces is this mystical nature, right? Is spiritual service, everlasting compassion, receiving messages from the divine, intuition, right? Psychic abilities, like it's just a mystical, poetic, creative sign. The shadow sides of Pisces are loss of direction, escapism, substance abuse, mental illness, right? There's all of these things. Okay, so what did I do for work before becoming an astrologer? I was working at the homeless shelters. Think about that. Just think about that. So my sun, my sense of purpose in Pisces, which is like, has that both of the qualities, the mystical, but the mental addiction and substances in the house of the home, of helping people find home. So in one path of my life, I could be doing that. I could be helping people with substance abuse and addiction, Saturn vibes, right? Finding home, literally. Or I could work with spirit and help people find home and help them feel safe and find abundance and all of that. So it's crazy. So I actually only realized that not that long ago. Like because I always uncover things about my chart. Like I always am unpacking things, and I just like looked at my chart, and sometimes I'll just like stare at my chart and just see what comes up like intuitively. And I was like, oh my God, like how did I not think about that? That I'm dealing with, you know, my line of work was actually with like heroin addicts and you know, people who are using meth and they're homeless, and it's like they're like on the way to spirit. And yeah, so it was really trippy for me to realize. So there's that part of the chart where you can see that in its most basic sense. Like we could talk about this for like ever. But then I remember finding out about my moon sign. So you know, I'm sorry, I can't go through all the signs, so I have to keep it to a more personal level, but you can understand. And so Leo, let's talk about Leo. You're a Leo. What do we know about Leos? We know that Leo is actually ruled by the sun, and Leo has this flamboyant energy, this desire to be seen, this desire to live forever. It's the king and queen energy of the zodiac. So Leo actually rules self-expression and to be seen and to live from the heart and to be joyful and warm and affectionate and playful and wonderful. And I love Leo energy so much. The shadow sides of Leo, right, is attention seeking, seeking validation, not feeling good enough, just working too hard without purpose, being very selfish. So those are the shadow sides. And so I knew about Leo and I knew about this and that. And then realizing when I learned about my moon sign, I was like, oh my God, like that's my heart. That is my emotional body. That is how I process emotions. This is what I need to feel safe. This is the relationship with my mother. This is how, like, what I look for in friendships and relationships and dynamics. And it was such a huge realization for me that I had to stop reading about what it meant because it was too much for me. It was just my whole life was unpacking and I was like, whew. And then, you know, so that's your moon sign. And then you can take it deeper and find your rising sign. So the thing is that the sun and the rising sign, they have an interesting energy, because I think that the rising sign is actually more prominent in a way, especially as you age, you can come into your rising sign more. So I found out my rising sign was Scorpio and I was like, holy shit, my whole life is a lie. I have been wearing color. your rising sign is what you physically look like. So it's literally like, I feel like I look like a scorpion. I don't know. Like I have a slim like face and there's just like other parts of my body which are actually like kind of voluptuous and like a weird, like sexual, seductive way. I'm obviously gothic, you know, I appear as dark and I'm reflective. I'm very intense and taboo. I love, you know, my podcast has taboo conversations and talks about death and the very confronting, investigative energy, right, with Scorpio. So with your rising sign, that's how people see you. That's actually how they, when you walk into a room and you have a vibe, that's what they think you are. People think I'm Scorpio all the time. And like, that's fine. You know, I get it. But when I found out what it actually meant to have a Scorpio rising, it was endless permission for me. It was endless permission to actually be that. And that's what astrology does, is it's a huge permission slip, because I remember just wearing like little bits of color and someone would be like, oh my God, is that blue? I love color on you. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, I guess I need to wear color to make people happy and do all that. And so I don't know, like, there's so much to explore in the chart, and there's like, yeah, like you can really see how the person is expressing themselves if they're in their fullest truth. So when you're in your fullest truth, you actually can guess people's signs more, but you can also say if they're super archetypical, you can also guess their signs more. But, you know, I'm kind of contradicting myself, but like the fact that I said Virgo rising, like I don't even know where that comes from, to be honest. Like, I knew you had Scorpio energy or Scorpio moon. Like, you know, I don't know. I think that like when you deeply understand this language, you can see how souls are interacting in the world. Like, I had a girl come over to my house. I love this story so much. And I didn't really know her very well. She was just kind of like in the community. And she's also like me, like dark, gothic. And we're both fire performers. And she's really cool. I was moving to Bali. And so I had all this amazing gothic clothing and just all this vintage stuff that I wanted to sell. Because I was like, I don't want to donate this. So she said that she would come over. And I was like, oh yeah, like come over, like come try the clothes on. And she's trying on all the clothes. And she's, like I said, also gothic. And she's trying on like, she's like, oh, she's picking all my colored stuff. And I was like, what? I've never seen you wear color. Like, why are you trying? Like, what's this? And I was like, are you a Scorpio rising? Like, you know, you're trying to wear black, like, right? You're very black and gothic. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I've never really resonated with my chart so much because I'm a Leo rising. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, there's no way that this is a thing. I said, no. I said, I literally was like, something's wrong. Because if you are Leo rising, my whole life is a lie. So because I literally, what I know about Leo rising is that Leo rising is sparkly, rainbow, colorful, exuberant, out there, taking up space. And so she says to me, yeah, you know, I've always been like performing, but just kind of in the background, and I don't really want people to see me. And you know, it's so hard to be on stage, and I just trying to wear color, but it's not really working. And she's talking and I'm just thinking, and she's trying on the clothes and I'm like, you have Chiron in Leo. You have Chiron in the first house. And she's like, I don't know what that means. And I said, okay, let's look at it. Let's see. And so she pulled up her chart and I was like, I'm going to twerk all over the place. Like, if you get Chiron, if you have Chiron, which is like you shouldn't really do that because that's someone's greatest wounds. But yeah, she could handle it. And so yeah, of course she had Chiron in Leo. And she was like, what does that mean? And I was like, well, your greatest wounds is self-expression, and you are actually not able to express fully as this Leo self that you're wanting to be. And it's, she was just like crying and saying that, oh my God, it makes so much sense. And it was so funny because she was leaving with like all these clothes in her hand. And she was like, thank you so much. I just came over to like get some clothes and I didn't really know, like I didn't expect to have my soul read by you. And yeah, it was really funny, but it allowed us to get closer, right?
You're so right. And that's just it, isn't it? I think this world, whether it be, you know, like studying astrology or just being a spiritual person and going down the spiritual path, you just create really authentic relationships with people. And I think that that is so powerful. I really, really do. I think you learn to embrace authenticity. And like with a birth chart, you can't hide. It's all written there in the stars. So it's like you're so vulnerable. So I really enjoyed that story. I also really liked your perspective on the ascendant, the sun and the moon. I really like your take on astrology. It really, really resonates deeply. So thank you for sharing on that as well. I wanted to take it one step further, and I was wondering if we could actually unpack what the north and the south node are as well. I know it gets deeper into it, but I think that this is also really, really important to know when you're looking into astrology.
For sure. Yes, there's so much, like I said, to unpack, and just trying to keep it simple and digestible, but I'm always down to go deeper. In terms of soul purpose and stuff like that, I would do like a whole soul purpose reading. You know, you look at the sun, but you also look at the midheaven. You also look at Mercury, and you look at the whole thing. And again, definitely the north and south nodes, and your rising sign is like how you do things. I also do business readings as well, which is like you actually can change the whole house system as like business houses. So there's so much, so much to do. But for the north and south nodes, they're mathematical points on the moon. So they're not actual, like it's not like a planet or an asteroid. It's basically like the north and south nodes of the moon that goes and does its orbit. We look to this as our point of destiny and where we come from. So the north and south node, you can see in your chart of like where you come from in this reality. So in this world, either like how you grew up, what your beliefs were, what you were taught, and essentially what you're actually good at. And it also could be like a past life thing. So if you believe in past lives, it could also be like what your soul is here to remember and what it's already done. So a lot of people with the south nodes, it's really easy to stay there. It's really easy to be that. As an example, I have my south node in Taurus. So south node in Taurus, people get brought up like, you need to be financially secure. You need to figure out your shit. You need to go to school. You need to work hard. You need to create money. You need to take care of yourself. This is like what I was taught. But the north node, which is they're always on opposites, so they always will be an axis, is where the soul should, I did put should in quotations because you can do whatever you want, but where the soul is naturally evolving. And when, if you work with this energy, then your soul purpose will come through. It's your karmic destiny. So it's already happening. But if you choose to work with this energy, your expansion, your evolution, and your abundance and manifestation and your time on this earth will be exponentially more expanding. You could do a whole reading just on the north and south nodes, right? It's where the souls are heading. It's a very esoteric concept that's actually derived from Vedic astrology. So my north node, if the south node is in Taurus and the north node is on the opposite, then the north node is in Scorpio. So for me, in the first house, right? So what does that mean? That my mission would just to be literally be more Scorpionic, more focusing on the self, you know, who am I? What's the depths of life, and where can I penetrate myself into that experience? And then I believe that, you know, looking at the rest of the chart, you can see how to do that essentially, or if there's a path, like what to do from there and how, where to go. So they are more metaphysical. But there's all the axes have different things. You know, there's the house of self and the house of other. There's my money, your resources, and, you know, so on. Communication, higher learning, blah, blah, blah. Emotion, safety. So, yeah, it's good to It's good to keep it simple. And then if this is, you're like, I already know all this, then looking into the nodes is a great way to understand like the point of destiny and where you come from.
It's so powerful to actually get your chart read by an astrologer like yourself, because it really just puts you on the right path, especially in explaining these esoteric concepts like the North Node and the South Node. And I love that you mentioned that you really just kind of bring forth your manifestations and your life purpose when you actually follow the North Node. It's so funny for me, before I got my birth chart read for the very first time, I thought that my North Node was in the first house, but my North Node's actually in the second house. So everything that I was like trying to focus on and cultivate, it was in the wrong area. So that was really funny. And then I realized, oh shit, my North Node is actually in the second house. So that just changed the game for me. Also, is it true that the North Node feels uncomfortable to follow because it's so unfamiliar to us?
Yes, thank you for touching on that. It actually is, the North Node is supposedly uncomfortable. It feels scary, or it feels challenging, or it feels different, because every time you are about to level up in life, every time you're about to reach your next level of expansion, of opportunity, of whatever, you are going to be met with like you got to make the leap, essentially. You got to do the scary thing. And a lot of people stay in their South Node because it's comfortable. So it's what they're good at, right? It's where they come from. It's what they've learned. But the soul actually wants something deeper. It wants the completion of that access. So if we don't have the completion, then we can just be stagnant. We can have stagnant energy. So that's what I believe is, like, you know, for me to embrace my Scorpionic North Node, like, that's hard. That's not easy, right? It's like the first thing you said to me is like, how is it to be a witch, right? You know, how do you deal with the prejudice and like all of that? It's like, I teach witchcraft to people, you know, it's not a chill path, right? And I think that once you decide where you want to live and how you want to live, like, for me, the birth chart did that for me. It helped me find out that I was supposed to be an astrologer, that I was supposed to do performance and modeling and circus and stuff on the side as my heart, as my hobby, not as my sense of purpose, because I realized that that's not what I want to be doing. But I thought that was what I wanted to be doing. And then when I looked at astrology, it made more sense. It was like, oh, this is actually what I need for emotional support and for happiness and for love and for safety. And then rising sign, okay, so if I'm a Pisces and I'm actually working in mysticism and helping people, and what does that look like, and getting clues, the rising sign is like how you do that. You know, then there's all the other planets. But essentially, that's how I started. That's really, really how I started to find my soul purpose, how I started to run a multiple six-figure business in under a year, is really by choosing to live by my birth chart and hiring support, hiring. I've had tons of readings from astrologers. I've paid thousands and thousands of dollars for readings and to just really, like, who am I, right? North Node in the first house. Who am I? What am I here to do? What am I here to offer? What's the journey? So I think that when you make that decision, that's when it feels scary. That's when it feels uncomfortable. That's when it feels like ground that we haven't covered yet. And I think that the more we enter this scary ground or this like uncomfortable edge, that means that you're evolving.
That's so powerful. And I completely agree. I think it's just so powerful to invest in yourself in that way and really just propel towards what your soul came here to do. Also, that's incredible. Six-figure business in under a year. What an incredible achievement. Well done.
Oh, thank you. It's, you know, been a lot of work, but also a lot of magic.
That's an incredible achievement, honestly. Before we wrap it up for today, I wanted to have one last conversation about Saturn. Now, there's so much negative connotation around the planet Saturn, the restriction that it places on our lives. I think lots of people are fearful of their Saturn placements and are scared to like go through their Saturn return. So I would love to hear your opinion on Saturn.
Yeah, so lovely Saturn is the great malefic. And what that means is that he's to me, I kind of describe him as the patriarchy because, yes, he has restrictions, limitations, challenges. Like, he does rule that, but he also rules systems, government, regulations, and karma and time. It's basically like dad. So he's dad in the chart, and the moon is mom. So it's Cancer, Capricorn, right? And so my partner is heavily dominated by Saturn. He has like five planets in Capricorn, and very much resonates with the Saturn archetype. And if we're just talking about Saturn in general, like Saturn really wants to teach rules and he wants to teach stability and structure. So if you live your whole life out of alignment, Saturn will come in and be like, hey, you're out of alignment. You're going to pay the consequences, aka your Saturn return. So people will say stuff about their Saturn return, which is essentially when you're 29 and a half, you will reach a 3-year cycle where Saturn will match up to your natal Saturn. So the Saturn that's transiting in the sky will match up to the one where you were born. And essentially it means all the themes of your life that are Saturn focused will show up in these next few years. And if you haven't been living in alignment with your, like, what are your structures? What are your rules? What are your regulations? What's your relationship like with restriction? Then it will be a harder Saturn return. But if it is, you know, you're more in alignment with who you are and you feel clear, then it will be a chiller Saturn return. But to just talk about Saturn, you know, Saturn definitely causes some trouble, right? We would look to Saturn in the chart to, like, you know, maybe there's an illness or maybe there's a blockage or maybe there's a disconnect. And I think that we can work with Saturn just like any of the planets. Like, I hate when astrologers are like, I don't want to work with Saturn because it's the malefic. Or I'm like, well, what about Pluto, right? Well, are we going to work with Pluto? Like, because what about Uranus? Those are also kind of intense planets. So I think that the way to work with Saturn is also to understand, like, what we do for work. Like, it can tie to work, right? Because Saturn rules that structure, that regulation, the rules, the dogma, your morals and values and time. So a lot of the times that ends up being our career and where we impose restriction, essentially. But I think that Saturn can be worked with if we just, like, actually communicate with Saturn. I think that, like, closing the eyes and asking, like, hey, Saturn, like, what lesson is there for you to teach me and what is there for you to learn and grow? Because I find Saturn to be very mysterious. I do find the fact that even just my sun is next to Saturn, you know, arguably that's like a really challenging chart placement, right? Is that, like, your sense of self is constantly going to be restricted. And I feel that in a way, but having the awareness that Saturn is looming over my sun, essentially, allows me to rewrite my story. So wherever Saturn is there's always, just like Chiron, there's always the greatest potential for healing there. There's always the potential to learn about your past, to learn about your rules and karma and what you believe about things. And he makes things challenging. He doesn't make things totally, like, fucked. If you want to know the planet that makes things totally fucked, you could arguably look to Pluto or Uranus. But Saturn more, like, is a mirror and makes us reflect on our past choices and what we've been creating our reality as. So he kind of challenges our reality. Like, what do you really think about that? Is that how you really are going to act in the world? What is the world to you? What's reality? It's like dad, right? He's like a strict father. Does that make sense? I kind of just went on a Saturn rant there.
No, it makes total sense. And I actually really like your perspective on Saturn. I think it makes it less scary to look at it that way, just to think, okay, well, you know, what do I actually want out of life? What are my restrictions? Why are they placed there? I think if you really understand your Saturn placement, it can be so powerful by the sounds of it. So thank you for sharing on that. And it's actually making me think of a quote that I heard. The quote was, what was it? I don't know if it was a quote, but I heard somebody say this. I heard somebody say that when you go through your Saturn return, that's when you finally grow up and become an adult, which I found funny. Do you believe that?
Of course. But we have our second Saturn return when we're like, I think it's 55. So it's kind of like with these life crisis or whatever. But I don't think that you would have a life crisis as intense if the way you've been living has been in alignment. So I think that like, I don't know. You're talking to a Sun Saturn person. So Saturn's been with me the whole time. So I don't know if it's like, you know, going to be really crazy. I haven't gotten my Saturn return yet. I'm only 26. So when I get my Saturn return, maybe we can do another podcast episode. And there's some hippies in the community. They're like, oh, like you wait for your Saturn return. And, you know, you think it's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. And I'm like, I don't know. My partner is also like, he's heavily ruled by Saturn, right? And his Saturn return was amazing. He really blossomed into who he was. Like he was a baby when I met him, and he became like a man after, you know, being with me. And same with Saturn in the seventh house. Like a lot of times when Saturn is transiting in the seventh house, I see people get married or they come into partnership, and you would think like, oh, like Saturn's going to restrict partnerships or he's going to restrict relationships. It's like, no, Saturn also rules discipline and dedication. So if that falls into the seventh house, that can mean you find that person that is into discipline and dedication into being with you. So there's always two different ways of looking at things, right? There's the darker sides that's the thing about astrology. We can just, you know, end on this is that like, every planet, every sign, every house, every aspect, every planet in the sky, if you want to 3D digitalize it, whatever in the sky, life is a series of light and dark. And it's just how it is. There's not like one planet like Saturn who's just only darkness. There's always medicine from everything in life. You know, like life is so beautiful, but death has its beauty too, and life is worth living because of death. So it's the same thing with the sky, that there's nothing wrong with any of it. And that the more we understand this language and the more we work with it with conscious energy and prayer and humbleness and presence and just this cosmic realization that we're alive, then the easier life is going to be.
That's such a beautiful note to end on. And you're so right. There is duality in everything. With life comes duality, the good and the bad. So I love that you summarize that in the world of astrology as well. I think it's so powerful and so beautiful to look at everything like that. With light comes darkness. I learned so much from today's conversation. So thank you so, so, so much for spending some time with us today to teach us all about the stars and the planets. I love your perspective on astrology. I think it's so powerful to have astrologers like you that can read the sky the way that you do. So you've definitely inspired me to want to book a reading in with you. So if the listeners wanted to find you, if they wanted to work with you, where's the best place that they should go to do that? I'm going to have this all listed in the show notes below as well for reference.
Yeah, I am very active on Instagram at Luna Veronica Mystic. I post astrological updates and witchy empowerment things and all the things. I also have a podcast myself called Words Are Spells, and it's on Spotify and iTunes, and there's lots of mystical, weird conversations on there. And my website, you can also visit there at www.lunaveronica.com, has all of my offerings, my Baby Witch Academy, my membership that's going to be launching for spiritual entrepreneurs, all the things. Yeah.
Thank you again, Luna. I so appreciate you spending the time to chat with us today, and I'm sure that we'll stay connected through Instagram.
Yes, thank you so much.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.